Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster along with my friend Tom Fairbanks. Tom is in for the vacationing Ray Allen on this July 3rd, 2017. Tom, for many people, it's the long weekend. My goodness.
It has been a longer than normal weekend with the holiday being on Tuesday.
Yes, yes, indeed. Tom, do you like Indian food?
You know, I have never had an opportunity to try it, but I have thought about it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know that, of course, the Twisted Tandoor, one of our fine sponsors, opened this weekend, and my goodness, what a meal. It was absolutely delicious. They're at the southwest corner of Camp Lowell Drive and Swan, and the coconut curry chicken, to die for. Anyway, I reviewed it on my Facebook page. People can take a look at that. It is our Monday political face-off day. Aaron Rottenstein is here. Mr. Rottenstein is the treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party. Aaron, how was your weekend?
It was great. It was great. Thanks for asking.
And Jim Kelly is here. Jim, longtime friend of our program, and Jim has been involved with pretty much all his life. Adult life with Republican politics. Is that a safe statement?
That's a very safe statement.
I mean, even when you were in the military and your service, and we thank you for that, were you involved with politics then, or
were
you too busy to be worried about?
Well, it depends. I mean, you know, when I was in the States, I would attend various functions and do different things that I was capable of doing as long as I could do it out of uniform, and I wasn't representing any kind of military endorsement of anything. But also, I was very involved in, I don't know if you remember, the Commonwealth Club in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I belonged to that the entire time that I was in the Navy. So,
well, Aaron, what do you think of the wrestling tweet? That's what seems everybody's been talking about this weekend from the president.
You know, I would love it if our president was a little bit more dignified in his public communication, but I think the biggest problem is the opportunity cost. When he's, you know, tweeting about CNN, he's not tweeting about jobs. He's not tweeting about the economy. He's not tweeting about healthcare. I went back and looked, and since June 30th, he's tweeted once about healthcare. It was to tell Republicans to try a different path. He's tweeted zero times about jobs, zero times about the economy, zero times about education, eight times about the media. And so, you know, he's the president of the United States. When he speaks, that's America speaking. And right now, we're just not talking about the issues that are important to people here and everywhere.
Jim, before you answer that, I do need to say and that this political face-off is presented by our friends at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. I should have mentioned that at the very beginning, but I didn't, and I will now. Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's specializes in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing, and hanging services and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Jim, the tweets, I saw some polling that even his base, even the Trump base, the 30-40%, 17% of them felt the tweets had been a little excessive.
Well, here's the thing. Tweets aren't law. It's just the way it is. Tweets and social media are entertainment. And I hope to goodness nobody's writing policy based on the entertainment of social media. But that is the phenomenon of social media, is that it has become a way to talk in the town hall. Again, tweets aren't law. Tweets aren't policy. They are simply the outbursts of whoever happens to be looking at something at the moment and reacting to it. And that's all it is. I don't care if it's WWE video, which is now, because of our technology, we don't need cartoonists like David Fitzsimmons anymore. We don't need that kind of commentary to form opinion or make us laugh, because we got YouTube videos. We've
so
got
you're saying this is
Instagram.
Like a political,
we've got all this
political cartoon.
It's all it was. It's a political cartoon.
I don't think anybody elected Donald Trump to be our nation's David Fitzsimmons. They elected him to be the commander in chief of the U.S. Armed Forces and the head of the executive branch. When you Google Donald Trump, His Twitter account comes up before whitehouse.gov.
But this reaction matters.
This reaction does matter.
The reaction to the tweets, the reaction to the social media commentary is what's driving everybody nuts. Now, do I personally think that we should be having a lot more official communication? And when I say official, I mean the kind of stuff written on White House stationery and signed by the president regarding jobs, regarding the economy, regarding foreign policy, regarding military matters, regarding whatever legislation is before the Senate and the House today. Oh, word yes. Absolutely. But what I'm trying to say is don't take tweets, don't take social media as the official policy of the United States of America. And everybody needs to learn that. And I hope to goodness that some of the sarcastic baloney that I put out on social media doesn't get taken seriously as my own personal policy should I ever be elected to office. And I think that's kind of where we're at now, is that think about it. Think about all the Democrats. Think about all the baloney that Maxine Waters says. You know, there's not 95 million people dying every day. I mean, we don't have Guam going to be tipping over anytime soon. And this is the kind of baloney that various Democrats put out, sometimes very sarcastically. And that's the thing about social media. You don't always know intent. You only know what's written in black and white, and it can be taken 20 different ways.
Yeah, Jim, I like you. I like Maxine Waters. There's a really big difference between you and Maxine Waters and Donald Trump. And that's the
Donald Trump elected, I'm not.
Donald Trump is the president of the United States. When the president gives a wedding toast, the AP is usually there to record it, and it becomes part of his official record, her official record, for as long as they live. Historians pore over it, and you can bet that historians are going to be looking at these tweets. We're looking at these tweets. I've got a 2.5-year-old. He is in the room when CNN is, you know, showing these tweets.
Everything and everybody utters today in social media is in the cloud. It's there for every historian, regardless of whether you want to use that for a negative or a positive. The point is, it's all there in the cloud now.
If we're an exceptional country, we've got to have an exceptional
president. And what I'm saying is grow
president.
Up and accept the fact that this is 2017, and we are in a brave new world of technology and communication.
Yeah.
And
the technology
people aren't going
the
to
problem.
Act the same way
so when you say
that
grow
they
up.
Did in 1965.
So you're saying,
and by the way, Lyndon B. Johnson, when trying to wrestle votes for the Civil Rights Act, would do so while sitting on the toilet and the door open for everyone to see and hear while he's trying to wrestle.
Well, not
these
everyone
guys
to see and hear. He didn't have 35 million people following him when he
in
was
the
on
40s,
the toilet.
They,
this
would,
is,
they wouldn't let the kids listen to Harry Truman on the radio because
of
the language
the tweets,
he used.
The tweets aren't what matters. What matters is we've got an unserious president who's unwilling to tackle the issues that American people care about, because the first thing he thinks of when he wakes up in the morning is getting as much attention as possible in the lowest common denominator way. And right now that's manifested itself in attacking the media. We've got a really, really despicable, detrimental health care bill that the Senate's discussing right now.
You know
we
what?
Need to be talking about it
if
as a country.
If Tim Steller says something nasty about me, I go after Tim Steller, right? We're still friends. I like the guy. But if he comes after with me with something that I think is unfair, I'm going to go after him. And the same thing goes with Donald Trump. If you've counted how many tweets he had about the various policies and things like that. But when you take a look that in one day, put a conglomeration of everything said about him in the media, when you get 300, 500 minutes attacking him for whatever it is, and they spend 15 minutes on policy, 15 minutes on a law that just got signed? Come on.
Yeah, the president's not spending. Zero tweets on infrastructure during infrastructure week. The week before that was healthcare week.
And where was the
zero
media
tweets
on infrastructure?
Where was the
why
White
were they
House
attacking,
on infrastructure?
Why were they attacking him, his family, and his wife instead of talking about infrastructure?
The White
That's
House
my
put
point.
Nothing out except for these tweets last week.
300 minutes a day
they accomplished
on
nothing.
Trump.
But
15 minutes a day on
infrastructure.
Those are your same. Those are your numbers. It's right there, man.
Jim, this is getting in the way, though, of the health care. I mean, it's such a
distraction. Then the media needs to ignore it.
Well,
And start concentrating on health care. Start concentrating on
those.
So you're
saying the media should just forget about these tweets, these goofy,
forget it. Forget it.
Tweets.
The only thing they really need to concentrate on is whatever he signs.
Do you follow Donald Trump on Twitter?
Where it says White House. I follow very few people on Twitter. I'm a
Facebook guy. Do you follow Donald Trump on Facebook?
No.
Okay, thank you. And everyone out there,
do you know why?
I think you should take Jim's advice and unfollow him.
Because if I follow Donald Trump, then I get 2,000 other things in my feed about Donald Trump.
But that's a problem. When we're having to turn off the president of the United States because what the president of the United States is saying is garbage, that's a real problem.
The only thing that matters is what his signature goes on the White House stationery,
brother. And it hasn't been enough. It hasn't been anything to create jobs. It hasn't been anything to rebuild our roads and bridges. What jobs has Donald Trump created?
I hate to tell you this, but there's been a heck of a lot of new hiring in
the
aerospace industry.
There absolutely has. And the only jobs I can remember him bragging about were those ones at the carrier plant, which turned out not to – every single one of those jobs has
been
lost.
Well, look around.
The money
just here in Southern
Arizona, we've
saved
to create
a lot of
those
jobs
was actually
10,000
invested
more
in the robots that have replaced the workers that Donald Trump bragged about.
Somebody's got to make those robots and program them, brother. Somebody's got to fix them.
790-2040. We'll be right back. Jim Kelly and Aaron Rottenstein with us. We'll continue with our political face-off right after this.
American Openings is pleased to sponsor Hands of Hope. Hands of Hope believes every life matters, and they're committed to walking alongside women to provide confidential, non-judgmental care so they can make the best decisions when unsure about continuing with a pregnancy. You can learn more about Hands of Hope at GiveHopeTucson.com. American Openings is a locally owned door and window manufacturer and is blessed to be a sponsor of a local ministry doing so much to protect life.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport. With six airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections, I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Are you a landlord by choice or by force? Experiencing a job transfer and don't know what to do with your current house? Want to move but can't sell your current house? Hello, my name is Ken Adams, co-owner of Rincon Ventures Property Management. Rincon Ventures has a fully automated accounting process, electronic payments, and 24-hour access to your accounts. With some of the lowest rates in Tucson, Rincon Ventures has grown rapidly in this down economy. Let us show you why. Give us a call at 881-2258 right now and experience the difference. Rincon Ventures, where service is a fact, not another empty promise. 881-2258.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
This is Bill Buckmaster wishing everyone a happy Independence Day weekend. Coming up on Wednesday on the Buckmaster Show, we'll have our monthly showdown, plus David Safir, who writes about education for the Tucson Weekly. Buckmaster, noon to 1 on AM 1030 KVOI with worldwide live listening at buckmastershow.com.
Welcome back. It is the Monday Political Face-Off on the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, specializing in custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, picture framing and hanging services, and hanging systems. Moe's Gallery, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Aaron Rottenstein, seated to the left of me, he is the treasurer of the Pima County Democratic Party, and Jim Kelly is here, longtime Republican activist, seated to my right. Greg has called us at 790-2040. Hello, Greg.
Hi, Bill and gentlemen. You know, it's so easy to focus on this tweeting business, but as Jim, as you pointed out, if you look at some of the political cartoons from when this country was founded, they were relentless, accusing people of associating with women of the evening and the rest.
Yeah.
It is basically like a cartoon. But when you're talking about what has he accomplished in the brief time he's in office, let me start with when the Syrian jets took down one of our assets or started bombing some of the people that we support. Immediately, I think within a day, we took out a Syrian jet. Now, how long do you think it would have taken with the previous administration to make a move like that, if ever? You know, they would move the line in the sand. And lastly, I'll say this. When he was campaigning, Donald Trump said, you know what, I'm not going to go debate those folks over on Fox. I'm going to go over here and raise a few million dollars for the veterans. Well, as weeks and months went by, the media questioned where did those millions go. So Donald Trump called the news conference, and what he said was, he said, you know, to besmirch me, to think I'm going to take that, he said, this sleazy guy over here from ABC, that sleaze. Now, that's not very politically correct, but that's why he's president, because many of us love that he speaks what he thinks. Thanks, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Thanks, Greg.
Aaron, any reaction to Greg?
Yeah, the president wasn't elected to be a cartoonist, and if he was, if he was the editor of the New York Post, and I used to deal with the New York Post every single day, and you know they'd put out garbage like this, and they'd be very proud to call it garbage. By all means, tweet away New York Post, tweet away Fitzsimmons, tweet away Tim Steller. None of them took an oath to serve this country. And as president of the United States, he needs to spend more of his time working for us and less of his time trying to, generate a reaction on Twitter.
Let's move on from tweets. We've got the health care issue, Congress in recess this week. But Jim Kelly, we're really at push comes to shove here.
Absolutely. This is what it comes down to. Donald Trump got elected. And by the way, new Republicans and old Republicans were elected on the promise that they were going to repeal Obamacare. And those people need that promise met. And Obamacare has to be repealed. Now, some said, let's replace it with, and a lot of ideas were thrown out there. Some of those ideas I'm not hearing, and I'm upset, because I think there are some Republicans that need to stand up and say, hey, what happened to being able to pool by association instead of by employment only? What happened to being able to sell across state lines? You know, all these kinds of ideas that everybody was talking about, but yet that's not where we're at. What we're at is Obamacare light, both from the Senate version and the House version at this point. So in order to get to reconciliation, there's going to have to be some things that occur that, because I guarantee you, if half the Republicans that voted think that they got schnookered, the punishment is going to be intense.
What's it going to be, the punishment?
I think that there will be an even more Freedom Caucus-like reaction, and I think more and more people who are like who are in the Freedom Caucus. There will be more libertarians,
and these folks will be primaried.
Absolutely! I think anybody that has been elected more than once will get primaried, because they promised their base. They promised the Republicans they were going to repeal Obamacare and that they were going to replace it with something that was market based. So if that doesn't happen, everybody's in trouble.
Are Dems going to make hay of that, Aaron?
It's not just Democrats making hay of this. This bill is a disaster. It has a 12% approval rating, which is three times worse than Obamacare ever was, even on its worst day. The majority of Republican voters in this country are against this bill, and obviously Democrats and independents are too. 23 million people are going to lose their health care if the Republicans in the U.S. Senate get back together next week and vote for this thing. 23 million people, and there's not going to be a reconciliation. This thing's going to be voted on in the House 20 minutes after it passes the Senate. Here in Martha McSally's district, 45,000 people will lose their health care. You know, again, she hasn't met us in public and done a town hall, but in those leaked tapes from the bankers' meeting, you know, she rightly said there are 400,000 people in Arizona that are on Medicaid, and we shouldn't screw them. This bill screws them. We'll lose Medicaid. Even people, and this is the shocking thing, everyone's health care is going to be affected by this. Even people like me who have employer coverage, you know, I could lose emergency vehicle, ambulance support. We could lose maternity care in our bill.
Okay.
You know, lifetime caps are going to be brought back in. Annual caps will be brought back in. And what those things mean is when you need your health insurance the most, that's exactly the moment these insurance companies are able to pull your policy from you.
Jim, I know you're very, very passionate about
this. I am. And let's take a look at the words that get parsed out here. First off, health insurance is different from health care delivery, okay? Finest health care delivery in the world. The problem is cost. Now, this issues of these numbers that are being thrown around about people who are going to lose their health care. No, what they may lose is something they never had to begin with. 12 million people signed up for Obamacare that didn't pay their premiums. All right? It's just that simple. They didn't pay their premiums because they couldn't afford them, even when they had the tax credits available to them to use. They still didn't pay their premium. So if you haven't paid, what happens if you don't pay your health insurance premium at work for 6 months? You lose your coverage and you don't get to enroll for another year. All right? These are the things that happen to everybody. So to say that the rug is being pulled out from them and that it's being taken away from them, it's not exactly true. But the reality of it is this. What's not being addressed by any of these bills is the cost of health care. And there's
I
a reason
agree
for
with that.
And there's a reason that health care is so high. Look at the difference of head injuries at the NFL and in rugby. Rugby people don't wear pads or helmets. Guess what? Less head injuries. You know why? Because they're not taking risky behaviors. NFL, the more pads they have, the harder they hit. So more head injuries. So that's kind of where we're at now. As we covered more and more and more, people lived riskier lives. So again, we need to concentrate on health and wellness and preventative and less on what are we going to do once they've crossed that line.
The cost is a big deal here. There are only two ways you can judge any sort of health insurance policy. How many people are going to be able to get care? And is that care going to be more cost effective for them? Under the Republican bill, your out-of-pocket costs are going to go up. Your deductibles are going to go up.
That went up with Obamacare.
It's going to go even higher, and that's what they're saying. And what's shocking is in spite of that, premiums are going to go up too. The estimates that came out of the CBO, and I'd like to thank Republicans in the Senate for at least being responsible enough to get some sort of preliminary estimates on what this bill would do to a sixth of the U.S. economy before they voted on it. Martha McSally didn't do that.
Yeah, we wanted that 8 years ago, by the way, just letting you know.
I was in Congress. We were getting CBO updates every single day for months after months after months. Obamacare, which, by the way, is cracked 50% in approval, Obamacare actually had 90 Republican amendments accepted.
This is the point about Obamacare. Medicaid got expanded, right? Yep. And we expanded Medicaid here in Arizona. But now, is it sustainable financially? That was the big fight. That was the big fight between Jan Brewer and the State House when they were talking about Medicaid expansion at the time. So, yeah, that you're right. That's the big fight. So everybody says a lot of these fights are kabuki theater to do one thing, get us all to single payer. Well, let's say... Yes, let's say yes to single payer, but it's not single payer, it's 50 payers. Each state handles their own. Mm-hmm. That's kind of where this the House version and the Senate version.
Is that where this
actually,
is going?
That the House and Senate mm-hmm. version have that agreement. Should they go to resolution today, for instance, there is that agreement. Let the states handle each one. Where the disagreement is at the federal level. The Democrats are going, but we don't want the states to have the ability to say yay or nay on this or that. They want one size fits all, and that's what drives up the cost of insurance.
When states are able to dictate the rules on this, and you get your insurance from somebody who works in many states, what that really means is that your insurance company, your employer, whoever it is that's putting together your insurance plan, can bid states against each other for the worst restrictions, the worst protections, the skimpiest coverage. And, you know, you made a really good point. None of this addresses the costs. And one of the reasons is the, you know, unprecedented tax cuts that are embedded in this bill. $33 billion in tax cuts in this bill is actually going to go to only 400 families. Those 400 families, that $33 billion in tax cuts is going to be created by taking away health care from 750,000 people. Hmm. Just for the $33 billion in tax cuts going to 400 families. It's despicable. It has nothing to do with health care. And that's why this bill's a failure and people aren't standing for it.
Well, and again, that's why there are people who are still fighting for pooled by association, not by employment.
All right, Jim Kelly, Aaron Rottenstein.
Happy Independence Day, everybody. Thank you.
Happy Independence Day, you
too. 4th of July. Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Check it out for all of your check Moe out and his family for all of your fine framing needs. They can take care of you. We'll be right back.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in TUS. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
Today, more than ever, consumers want to work with a business they trust. Hi, this is Suzanne Miller with your Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona, reminding you that thousands of consumers go to tucson.bbb.org every week to inquire about trustworthy businesses. Is your business accredited with BBB? To find out more, call Celeste Angelini at 520-345-5837 or go to tucson.bbb.org and remember to always start with trust.
The Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting the news from a different perspective. Local opinion from Emil Franzi, Bill Richardson, and Bruce Ash. Our national columnists are the best. Michael Barone, Thomas Sowell, Ilan Berman, Avik Roy, Bill Tatro, and A View from the Left with Sam Smith of Progressive Review. Plus, Michael Ramirez political cartoons. It is thoughtful opinion and commentary only found in the Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com.
And I love the fact that Green Things has these wonderful free workshops for all of you gardeners. Upcoming on Sunday, July the 9th, from 10 in the morning till 1 in the afternoon, Green Things is proud to offer a succulent Choya log with sun catcher. So, very creative way, build a succulent Choya log with a sun catcher. Kathy will be doing that workshop. Green Things, 3384 East River Road. So go to greenthingsaz.com for more information. Another one of the very fine sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. I'm so proud of the great group of people who support our work here. The Buckmaster Show contributor on military and foreign affairs, General John Wickham, was the United States Army Chief of Staff from 1983 to 1987 and Commander-in-Chief of South Korean and U.S. Combined Forces from 1979 to 1982. General Wickham served 4 decades in the United States Army. He's retired in Oro Valley, and we are so honored to have him as one of our regular 24 or so contributors to this program. General Wickham, how are you?
I'm fine, Bill. Happy to be on your wonderful program on nearing Independence Day.
And I want to wish you a happy birthday. A couple of days ago, you turned 89 and still going very strong. Very proud of that fact.
Thanks, Bill. Thanks. The good Lord is looking out for me.
Let's talk a little bit about the big meeting that's coming up, the president and meeting with Putin face-to-face. What do you expect to come out of this meeting, General Wickham?
Well, of course, there's clear evidence. We've heard about it, and you have on your program and in the media, that the Russians did interfere in our election in 2016. So I think the minimum thing is that President Trump should bring that up and say, this is not the way to have good relations. And that will be sort of a very difficult thing for Putin, because Putin claims that they didn't do it, but there's evidence they did. And I think there's going to be talk about, of course, Syria, situation there, and what can we do to minimize hostilities in the world.
General John Wickham with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, if you would like to join in our conversation with General Wickham. Do you see the Russians, General Wickham, as an adversary at this point for the United States?
Yes, I do.
Okay.
Based on tradition, that Putin is in a way manifesting the Russian tradition's suspicion of the West. Look at Russia. If we lived there, they'd been invaded by Napoleon, 1 million people killed, invaded by Hitler, 1 million. They would naturally have a paranoia about the West and NATO pushing to the towards the Russian border in the European Union. And so, and with Afghan, with the situation in some of the republics, former republics of Russia, that are leaning towards let's get closer to NATO and the European Union. So there's a natural paranoia there. So we're going to face considerable difficulty with Russia.
Russia had a difficult time in Afghanistan, and you know, our experience in Afghanistan, we're really struggling there right now, and it seems like that's been a very difficult place for centuries, hasn't it?
That's right, Bill, and you're exactly right. Afghanistan for the Russians, and I've read some of the readings in Russian about that. They refer to that almost as their Vietnam War that they lost. And some of the books have talked about how their pilots were frightened by the way we were flying our aircraft and using weapons that would destroy their aircraft. So, yes, it was. Now, the difficulty we're faced with Afghanistan now, it's almost 16 years have been fighting there. No solution because we have failed to develop a regional solution. Part of the regional solution must be getting the Pakistanis to stop support for the Taliban. You know, the word Taliban means in their language over there, students. And these are people that resisted the Russians, the Taliban students. And it's still there. But the Pakistanis are supporting them. We've got to get that to stop that kind of support. We also need to get China involved in helping some of the funding for the Taliban nation.
Well, you know, I think back to Vietnam, and we did not learn the lessons, excuse me, of the French. And then with Afghanistan, it seems like we could have looked to what had recently happened with the Russians and learned from that, but we didn't.
We didn't. You're exactly right. And you're exactly right that the French were, in some ways, winning the war in
Vietnam. Yeah.
And when we first started into Vietnam with troops, we were getting the Vietnamese to fight the war. We would support them. And this went on until about 1965 when we got impatient, said, "You're too slow, you're not doing it right. We know how to do it right. Step aside. We're going to show you." And we went in there with all the troops. And you may recall that Westmoreland kept coming back almost every year asking for more troops. And if he had been given authority by Nixon to run the war and do the troop levels that he wanted the way President Trump has given authority to General Mattis, the Secretary of Defense, to run the war in Afghanistan, we would have had almost a million troops in Vietnam. Just think of that and the situation. So I think what the president has done now with putting Mattis in charge of the war, and if there are more troops needed, you can approve it on your own, is wrong. I think the president needs to be in charge and responsible for fighting these wars if we're going to be involved and not delegate to somebody else.
All right. One of our callers, Sheldon, is on the line, and he has a question about, I believe, men and women in the military. Go ahead, Sheldon.
Yes.
Oh, Sheldon.
So well to hear this great view of military history. I'm a veteran myself, U.S. Army, and there was recent reports that the Army wanted a delay in giving persons who were seeking transgender rights, and yet they were overruled by the other military services. I have a medical journal article indicating that they can get they need therapy. They have a mental problem. I have a printout from the main library in Tucson. Thank you for keeping us up to date, Honorable General. Keep up the good work.
Thank you. Thank you, Sheldon. Concerning a delay in the transgender situation in the military, have you been following that at all, General Wickham?
Oh, yeah. I think it's wrong. In some respects, the reason for the delay is to be sure that everybody is educated how to deal with transgender people and getting the word out and publications out. So there's some delay with that. But I don't think the delay is because we don't support it. I think the military does support it. Look how far we have come in the last decade or two in terms of equal opportunity for people. And I think transgender is part of that equal opportunity thing. We're going to get over this hurdle very quickly, in my opinion.
All right, we're going to take our break right here. General Wickham will stick around. If you have any questions for the general, he'd be delighted to entertain them. We're going to be talking about the Veterans Administration when we come back. There's been a change in the law. We want to hear what the general has to say about that on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, if you'd like to join in the conversation. Be right back. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant. Named after the classic New Orleans cocktail, Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com. If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com. Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. And welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. And the Twisted Tandoor is open. I was there this weekend. So the grand opening has happened. They are located on the southwest corner of Camp Lowell Drive and Swan. If you're looking for wonderful Indian food, check out the Twisted Tandoor. If you're looking for a place to kind of cool off, Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico is just a three-hour drive. And to get away from the heat, because they're up at about the 6,000 to 7,000 foot elevation over in Silver City, and you can really have an enjoyable outing over there. Some great places to stay and many recreation opportunities, all listed at southwestnewmexico.org. Let's go back now on the live line. General Wickham with us. General Wickham, usually with us the first Monday of the month. General, I'm just so proud of all of our fine sponsors here on the Buckmaster Show.
Oh, you've got fine. They're very good. And I've done work with some of them, like the RTA.
Right.
Excellent found sponsors.
So let's talk about the VA. A law was signed, I guess, giving the VA secretary authority. What is that about, this new law?
Well, it all grows out of the problem in Phoenix a year or two ago. Long delays getting veterans in to see the medics there, and something wrong with the facility. Unlike the Tucson one, which is one of the best in the United States, thanks to leadership there and also to Gabby Giffords and her role. But the new law now gives the head of the VA authority to fire people irrespective of the retirement rules, civil service. It's an unusual authority, and it can be very helpful to a degree. But in my humble opinion, the real problem with the VA is not firing people that don't seem to respond. The real problem is getting enough funds to hire medics and also to improve our facilities there. The Obama administration kept asking Congress every year for more funding to do that. Guess what? The conservative Congress refused to do it. So the part of the problem is the enemy is us. We've not done right by funding the VA adequately. But now this authority may help a little bit. The danger is that it may be misused and that we may start firing people because of personality clashes or because of political views of people. And also it could morph into a authority to fire people in the civil service across the government, which would be a disaster. If you can imagine starting to fire people in the State Department or in the Treasury Department or in the Defense Department for whatever reasons that you might come up with. So I'm not sure it's a healthy change.
Well, you know, this might be a good point to in the conversation to bring up your own experience with the VA, General Wickham. And I want to reflect here on this Independence Day weekend. You were badly wounded. Let's face it. You were given the last rites by a Army chaplain in Vietnam and were not expected. You were not expected to survive. And you did, thank goodness. But what was your experience in Vietnam with the medical care that you received on the battlefield?
It was excellent. Of course, the medical care in Vietnam for most veterans that served there in the field was rudimentary. Your buddies helped. The medics that helped, if they had the bandages, if they had the morphine or whatever, they would do it. But if they didn't, you didn't get it. And so you were dragged out of foxholes, in my case, and put on a helicopter. One of the beauties of Vietnam in helicopters, if you made it to a helicopter, your chances of survival were 98%.
Wow.
It made a huge difference. And so, but it was rudimentary, and but I'm amazed and going through the whole process, coming back, flying back with nurses, and how these people can live and see that kind of going on every day. We've got interesting. Our grandson is a medical doctor at Walter Reed, West Point graduate, and his wife is a nurse, and so they see this all the time, and they're doing very well. Thank God for that kind of care. Another problem that you as a civilian leader in our country need to work on, we do not have enough medical people graduating from medical school and nursing school to care for Americans. We're short on people, and we've got to do a better job of improving the number of people that are coming into the medical profession.
And does that carry over, General Wickham, to the armed forces in this country? Is there a shortage of military medical personnel?
Yes, there is, and exactly. And, you know, years ago, the military academies changed their curriculum to be very similar to commercial curriculum. And one of them was to go to medical school. And my grandson did that. He studied at West Point pre-medicine, and about 10 in his class went into medical school, and they're all practicing medicine. All the service academies are doing that. And it was recognition by the Department of Defense that we need to get more people into medicine in the military. So they recognize that. But as a nation, we have not done that. And that's one of the deficiencies of dealing with drug abuse and dealing with mental problems in our society. We have not gotten enough medical people into the system.
Before we let you go, General Wickham, your expertise on Korea, the Koreas, is always valuable to our listeners. That was a tragic event with the death of that American student that was really caused, I believe, by the really brutal prison system in North Korea.
Exactly, Bill. You put your finger on it. There's the brutality there. They don't live up to the standards that we do. And as an American citizen, they don't care. And they tried to get some kind of confession out of him, which he wouldn't give them. And so they brutalized him. John McCain understands that from his god-awful treatment that he had in North Vietnam. How are we going to deal with the North Koreans? I don't think this administration has a clue. And the Chinese are not particularly helping. And I talked to Chinese leaders a number of times when I was over there, and they tell me that the North Koreans don't listen to any outside advice. So there's a limited amount of things that the Chinese can do. But we can work with the North Koreans if we're willing to sit down with them and accept them as a nuclear power. And now let us see what we can do to limit that. We did that with the USSR during the Cold War. We did it. We've done it now successfully with Iran. I think we can do it with North Koreans if we are prepared to work it out with them.
But just isolating North Korea has not worked.
You're exactly right. And part of the promise, part of the quid pro quo for them being willing to sit down and talk with us can be trade, can be an openness to the West. And for example, we need to do things that don't irritate them. We have these annual maneuvers over there where we bring in tens of thousands of American troops and aviators and threaten the North Koreans, see that as a threat to their independence. And they're paranoid about that. Americans don't understand that paranoia because we've never had that problem in our country, but the North Koreans do. We could do away with those exercises, and that would be a quid pro quo that might move us further down the peaceful road.
Well, it's certainly probably good advice for Americans at this point not to travel over there, because if you do travel to North Korea, you're really on your own, aren't you, General Wickham?
You are. You're running a risk, and there are other places like that. I would even think about Vietnam, going into Vietnam as a visitor. But North Korea in particular, I don't know why anybody would want to go there unless they had some relatives there where they've got to take some photographs. But I would stay out of North Korea until we get a better handle on it.
Do you have any final thoughts for us, General, on this Independence Day weekend?
Well, the final thought would be, Bill, for every American that's listening, to be profoundly grateful for living in the United States of America, the greatest nation on earth ever, a nation that's been blessed by the good Lord with so many blessings of opportunity and growth. And we need to be appreciative of that. And what our veterans have done for us in terms of preserving that freedom and opportunity and our Constitution and all what it means to us. We have a lot to be grateful for. And every American ought to close their eyes tonight and tomorrow night and thank the good Lord for being a citizen of the United States of America.
Well, I thank the good Lord for General John Wickham, and I'm so happy you just turned 89, doing well, and just honored to have you on this program. And happy 4th of July to you and your lovely family, General Wickham.
And God bless, Bill. Thanks for your wonderful program.
Thank you very much. Always a pleasure to have General John Wickham. And just listening to his insight, I think something is very valuable and that we can all learn from the experience that that this man has had. A highly decorated, really war hero in Vietnam. And as I say, barely made it out of there alive, but we're glad he did. Coming up this afternoon, we've got Mike Check with Mike Shaw. I think Tom Fairbanks will be, you'll be engineering and producing that show, right, for Mike this afternoon.
Yes, sir. I will be here.
You will be there, and Ray's on vacation, so Tom will be filling in today, and then tomorrow morning we're going to take the day off, actually, with everybody off, 4th of July.
Repeat one of your shows.
We are. We got a good one, actually. We've got Andrew Weil and a profile of David Fitzsimmons on the program tomorrow. So we've got a good noon hour for you on the 4th. Until then, have a great 4th of July, everybody.